Welcome back, everyone, to Your Ball Was Out podcast presented by Phil from Tweener Head Tennis. Now, today we have a very special guest to talk about the new tennis league in Tense, a friend of the podcast and channel, and the former coach of Riley Opelka, J.Y. J.Y. has been around for a very long time, and his knowledge of the game is very extensive, and we're very glad to have him back on to talk about this new tennis league called Intense. It's trying to revolutionize the way people see tennis players and see the game of tennis by making it more accessible, making it more fun, and offering a lot of new features that you will get to learn about during this podcast with J.Y. Now, I hope you guys do enjoy this chat with J.Y. But before you guys enjoy, make sure you are subscribed to the Tweener Head Tennis YouTube channel to follow us. And We're trying to hit 6,000 subscribers here. And if you are listening to this on any podcast platform, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And now enjoy our chat with J.Y. talking about the new Intense Tennis League. New year, new league, same J.Y. We are back. And J.Y., everyone that doesn't know who J.Y. is, I don't think you're in the right space, because J.Y. has been around and has a big impact on what we do and is now a part of the Intense Tennis League. And we're very excited to have him on to talk about everything in terms of this new league that's been started up in terms of tennis and just everything tennis. So, J.Y., welcome back.
Thanks, man. I would say I appreciate the kind words there, and I would say I don't know if I'm the same J.Y. this year. I've put on
really,
I've put on a lot of different hats. I mean, for me, I don't want to be the same because I'm a big self-critic. So
fair enough.
I'm always looking to improve. I'm always looking to, you know, I got to get better. I got a lot of flaws, so you know, I hate my flaws. So I try to get better. And this year, gosh, am I doing so many new things? And the Intense League is a huge thing that is very different, because also I'm not in the role as a coach. Not in the role as a player. Yeah. I'm in such a different part of it. And so this is definitely a different version of me. And it's actually probably been the most fun I've had in a little while.
Really? What makes you say that, though? I feel like that's a big step forward into what you've done in the past, being a coach on the professional tennis tour, to now being on the other side of essentially the camera with podcasting, being an announcer, being almost an analyst. You are an analyst now for this new league. And I wanted to bring you on to kind of talk about this league and your experience so far of what it's like.
Yeah, well, I mean, that stuff that you mentioned, right? The being the commentator, broadcaster, analyst, I've never done that before.
Yeah.
So in a way, I'm just so grateful that they took the chance on me to put me in that position. And you know, I've had my own podcast on the tennis coaching side, so I have some experience trying to talk and put a good script together. But I think this is very different, and I think that's the other part too. Is anything new for me is exciting. It makes me really nervous.
Yeah.
So I could have stayed in coaching and tried to, and I still coach to an extent, but definitely less than probably I've ever done it before.
That's fair.
Anything new makes me really nervous. I really like my routines, getting comfortable and stuff. And I'm constantly having to fight myself out of that, because you can't grow if you're not doing anything different, trying anything new.
Yeah.
We were talking about it before we started here, just the setup, the mic, the camera, all this stuff is new and it makes me nervous. But like, I know that through those nerves, that's what I'm going to grow. And when I grow, new and fun things come. And now we got this new team professional league coming on, and I couldn't be more excited to finally have something that I believe is the version of tennis so many people have been looking for. It's not perfect yet, but I think my two favorite things about everything that I'm going through right now with the Intense League is, one, how many people have we come across that say they have these great ideas and all this and that, and you're like, oh yeah, that does sound like a great idea. No one does a damn thing about it. Right. And so I was approached about this league last year by Charles Allen, and literally this is happening. And every week there's a new thing we're trying to do. And that's the second thing I really love about everybody is there's no egos in any of this. Everybody is so willing to take on the criticism. What do we need to do better? There's no ego. And so every week, every day, it seems like there's a new idea being thrown out. We try something new. We're in the middle of our preseason. On Sunday, we had our second preseason match. And from our first preseason match a few weeks ago in Zephyr Hills, Florida, at the SVB Tennis Center, we've already made some adjustments. We're going to make some adjustments for the third one, and we're just going to get better and better.
There's so many questions that are running through my head right now, but I'm going to try to condense it into just focusing on what this league is about. And when I had a previous call to talk about this with someone, this isn't supposed to be traditional tennis. I think that's the mindset that people have to break out when looking at a product like this. This is not supposed to be a traditional tennis format setup, whatever you want to call it. The whole point of this is to be energized, to have more upbeat and more literally intense content to produce with this product. And that's one of the things that I noticed with the first preseason stream and now the one you just had at Georgia Tech. It's definitely a newer version that I think we'll call them traditionalists have to get used to. And with this product, it's definitely going to push the boundaries of how people see tennis and how you can enjoy tennis as well. And whether that's from former pros or you wearing a blazer with a shirt, I mean, was that the first time you wore a blazer with a shirt on camera?
On camera, yes, but I am from Miami, so
Okay, so
blazers
that's common.
are, that's
Okay.
common for,
Okay. I've
yeah.
never been able to pull off that look, so I was proud of you for pulling that off.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in the mirror that morning. I'm like, oh. So for the first one in down in Zephyr Hills, Florida, which is just outside of Tampa, I took three outfits just because, and it's funny because it was a 36-hour trip. And I took three outfits because I just couldn't decide. And I just said, look, I'm just going to wake up and I'm going to have very little time to plan this. And I'm just going to have to throw something on and I'm going to roll with it. And it helped that the weather down there was pretty favorable. So I could get away with wearing that. And I just said, I kind of got to stick with it for now. So, you know, and I think that's part of what we're trying to do. I mean, look, a lot of the things that we're trying to implement is we're trying to give the form of tennis that we think the fans have really wanted, the players have wanted, and coaches have wanted. So, you know, the whole thing with the scoring and that, look, we still have the most basic forms. The lines are the same, the court is the same, forehand, backhand, all that's kind of the same. It's just the scoring is a little bit different, but if anything, it's a lot simpler because, you know, from that side of things, if you try to bring in a new tennis fan, they're just getting started. They walk into, you know, let's just say the US Open, first time there, never played tennis, never watched it, but it's such a cool event. You know, the US Open's become like an influencer event, right? It's almost like the Coachella of tennis, right?
Oh God, I haven't heard that before, but now that I think about it, it's so true. Same with Indian Wells. It's like, how many celebrities can you pack into the event?
And so, but if they walk in for the first time and they're trying to follow the score, it doesn't make sense. Love, 15, 30, okay, 40. What? Yeah, but let's go deuce. What? Add in. What? What? Okay. But and then there's a changeover after the first game, but then it's every two, but then you got to win by two, but then you can win 7-6. Like there's all this stuff that, look, we just got used to it. But the thing is, when you try to bring in a new fan, and we have a lot of other sporting events that they have access to, you know, we need to do something to keep them there. And if you don't understand what's going on, it's hard to really enjoy it. So that's one of the things we really wanted to come across and get a better version of. And the other thing too is, and I learned this from the coaching side of stuff, but if you're watching the tennis match, 80% is just walking around. Imagine going to a sporting event and 80% you're just sitting there watching them wipe their towel, sit down, drink some water, ask the ball boy for balls. Like, why not? Wouldn't you want to watch as much tennis as you possibly can in a short amount of time? So that's where, we put in a scoring format that incentivizes you to play as much as possible because you actually have a clock running against you. So, that's just a little bit of what we've done. And and so it's time for a change. It's time to evolve, right? We understand some people are not gonna like this, and that's fine. Like, that's okay. We think there's enough people around the world that can we can grow very far, very fast, and people can have both.
It's that idea that it's not taking away from other events, and it's not taking fans away from other events, and kind of compartmentalizing fans to each format, but it's just another way of seeing the sport and another way of attracting even newer and more interested fans to the sport in general. And that makes me think when you talk about something like this, when you look at this kind of newer league to something like the Ultimate Tennis Showdown, what would you compare and contrast to another, and I'm going to use UTS in quotes here as a league because it's its own entity at this point versus an actual league that you're creating with teams and new rules. What would you say the compare and contrast would that to that quote unquote league would be?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say like UTS college tennis, trying to bridge it, provide a team format, because the team format we think people really enjoy a lot more as far as from the players and the coaching side of things. And the other side of it too is just, and this kind of goes into a little bit of what UTS does, but this is a point that we're really big on. Australian Open is a perfect example. Two great examples came out of there. First, Djokovic not playing in the semifinals. People were pissed off. Understandably, they paid. Look, semifinal tickets are expensive. Okay, so you pay that money to go. Now, look, Djokovic did the right thing. He should retire. He can't risk the rest of his year to try to please fans there. Like, he's getting older. He can't recover as fast.
That's the harder part.
So, all right. Well, we don't have those issues because we have substitutions in there. You will never show up and go watch something and then all of a sudden have nothing to go for. The same thing happened in the Dallas Open, I think a year or two ago. I had some friends go for the night session and I was able to get them some tickets and they would withdraw and they didn't even get to watch anything. So
That
it's
must have
like,
been,
so imagine going, spending, you're planning your evening, if you have a family babysitter or whatever, and you show up to this event and your big night out is gone because somebody's hurt. Like, that's awful for the fans. So, and especially you on the other, to continue with that, is how many times have you wanted to watch someone, but there's a freaking 3, 4 hour match before, and now you're waiting for hours to go watch them play. So at some point you have to move on with your day or you go to bed. So you don't watch it. Matches that finish at 2, 3 in the morning, okay, they're great. They're historic. I think about the Davis Cup that finished at 5 a.m. that I was at, we played in Spain. There was nobody there. Like, one of the most historic Davis Cup matches in American tennis history. Nobody was there to watch it. Nobody, like, it's just ridiculous. Started like at 1, 2 a.m. So we don't have any of that because we have substitutions and our matches start on time. And because of the clock format, we know when it starts, we know when it finishes. It's very easy. And you know when you're going to show up, you know when you're going to leave. It's so easy to plan, just like all the other big time leagues. And when it comes to, and this is the issue with that, I think the WTA and ATP tours have with sponsors, sometimes they're a little bit hesitant because of stuff like this. Well, what if our primetime guy that we just paid a lot of money to put a commercial on, now that match does, they don't really play until later. So we paid for a lot of money that people aren't even tuning in on. So they're not even watching our sponsor. So this is a
That's a
couple.
hard part. And I think that comes with the idea of tournaments being back to back, or when people quote unquote or players overcommit because you'll see them have a really long run or a really good run. Let's just say at just an example, let's use Argentina in the Rio Open right now. João Fonseca just won Argentina, but now he's playing in Rio, his home tournament. A lot of people are basing their tickets and sales based on him being the number one Brazilian. Now imagine he goes and he decides, and I may be foreshadowing, but who knows at this point. But he's going to pull out. Imagine how many people are not going to show up despite them selling a lot of tickets because of how strenuous the schedule can be, or he had one of the hardest fought tournaments of his career so far. That's the biggest difference. So it kind of ruins not just a player schedule, a fan schedule. The corporate schedule is going to be even worse because they're paying so much money to have these guys show up and then they never do.
Yeah, I think of the 250s that happen right before a slam. The Geneva Lyon, the Winston-Salems, you're never going to get a top guy ever.
Which is
So
sad.
and at the same time, you don't know who's going to show up because the week before, if they have a big run, they're going to withdraw from that 250 to save their body for the slam. So it's hard to even get big time sponsors in because you don't even know who to promote. And I see this all the time at like posters. You walk into the tournament, six of the seven guys aren't even playing anymore because they withdrew in the last 3 days. So it's just a bad look. And the way we have things scheduled out, it's a weekend event, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, have a couple of days off, you play again. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you come back, you play again. And even, regardless if one player or not is there, the team is going to be there. And we've always felt, I think, that the ATP Tour would be so heavy on marketing individuals. And look, that's kind of always going to be the case, even the NFL, MLB, but those leagues really market the league. Market their teams, they market the event. And that's what's so vastly different. So if you don't have one player in, like you're still there to support your local team, right? But here, if Fed, like you said, if Fonseca doesn't play, a lot of people are not showing up to that match now. But if you're from Atlanta and your local team is playing, okay, maybe your number one guy isn't there, but your team is playing. So you might still want to go. You got the jersey, you got the shirt, you got the hats, you got the gear. You still love the coach. You know the names of all the players there. So you're still going to show up.
I think that's the hardest part too, and this kind of goes along the broader scale of thinking about players and the company they represent, or let's just say the brand. Like we always talk about the NFL's brand, the MLB's brand. They talk about the whole organization, not just one team. And when it comes to that, players are their own brand, but tournaments base their brand on people playing. They don't base it off their tournament. They don't base it off what they have to offer. Like Geneva, like just off the top of my head, Geneva's tournament outside, probably one of the most beautiful landscapes I've ever seen behind a tournament, right? Indian Wells, I think, is the only one that I think brands itself as tennis paradise because people know it as tennis paradise and they know everyone's going to show up. So it's very different to see how they market individuals that don't even necessarily represent the ATP or the WTA. They represent themselves. They're their own LLC versus they represent the ATP or the WTA. And
Yeah,
that,
and
it's
when they
hard.
would, yeah, and then when they withdraw, they might not even go to the event. Here, you see it in the NBA. How many times are injured players not playing, but they still travel with their team,
It's not
right?
like
So
they
they're
stay at home.
right. They don't stay at home. They're still there. Maybe they can still sign autographs. Maybe they do stuff pre-game, post-game. They do the press conferences. They still do stuff. So I mean, that's the same for us. The team's going to travel. So, maybe your favorite player doesn't get to play, but you'll still get to meet them. You'll still get to some autographs, and you can still interact with them and get to know them. So, and a huge part of it. And then the part that I'm just super excited for is going to be our live streaming platform. Like, I think We have a I can't say the name of it. At least I don't think so. So we'll wait to roll it
We'll
out for when.
wait. Or you can say it
But
and I'll just bleep it out and we'll
yeah.
just move along.
Well, but the platform is going to be extremely interactive, right?
Yeah.
You go up, you watch a live stream on your computer. It's like watching tennis on TV. There's
Yeah.
really no difference. We're going to have such an interactive platform, such a very different experience that I think that's where we can also capture so much of the streaming audience that I think other tours have just haven't done such a great job to build on.
Yeah.
So there's so many things I'm excited about with the league. And obviously then comment from the commentating side of things, I love that for me, I've been given the freedom to do things a little bit more differently.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people, and you've probably read comments before that they watch tennis on TV with the mute button on.
Because they can.
Because they can, and because what they're hearing really isn't that informative to them. It's not that interesting. It's pretty basic. There's a few great commentators, but there's a lot that are we just call them Captain Obvious,
Yeah.
right? Just say what's just plainly there. Okay, yeah.
There's a couple out there I can think of in slams that I won't repeat the names, but I know I've said the names out loud before of at least during slams, people that don't provide necessary commentating, but they just add, let's just say ad lib to the conversation because it's not informative and it's not worth my time to listen to.
Right. And I don't, I think a part of that is you are commentating, but you have all these sponsors behind the tournament, the company,
Yeah.
this, that. So they feel a little restricted on how far they can go on things.
Yeah.
And so we've been given a lot of freedom to have a lot of fun with this, be ourselves, obviously, in a certain organized manner. But I think the commentating is just going to be a lot more fun, a lot more colorful. And hopefully more informative and exciting for people that they actually want to listen to us. So, they're not just thinking about, okay, well, who's on the commentary booth? Oh, I don't want to listen to them. Okay, I want to listen to them, right? That's just,
Yeah.
you don't want to do that, right? So I
No one wants to have that kind of idea of I'm going to tune in just for one person. They want to tune in for the product.
Right. So, and I think that's a big part of the people running the Intense League that have given us the freedom
Yeah.
to let's go for it. Let's just make this the most interactive, fun experience that people have ever seen within the sport of tennis.
And for you commentating, what have you When you first heard that you were commentating on this and doing a podcast for this, was there any style or anything that first came to your head of how you want to model how you commentate, or are you kind of what are you looking to do with your commentating?
The biggest thing was I want to be able to be completely honest.
Okay.
That's it. I'm like, if I want to criticize a coach or a player or myself or whatever, I shouldn't have to be 100% politically correct, right?
And not censored.
And not censored.
Yeah.
I think I do a pretty good job being respectful of other people and trying to provide facts. If I'm going to provide any type of criticism, I'm not going to just going to be mean for the sake of being mean and getting a social clip out of it, but just don't restrict me.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't restrict me. Let me be myself and I'll do the best I can. And because then I'm having the most fun. I don't have
Yeah.
to think about what I can and can't say. I can just be myself.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. And they said, absolutely. And on the podcast, it's the same thing. When we bring people on, it's going to be just be honest. You don't have to not talk about anything.
Yeah.
Say whatever you want, however you want, because we want real people. People can smell the bull crap from somebody's
You
mouth.
can swear here if you want to. Or, okay. Fair enough.
I'll let it flow. I do curse in private, but
Fair enough.
maybe
All right.
flow.
On this
So
scale, we'll be a little bit more
yeah.
relaxed. Okay. Fair enough.
But yeah, it's if we curse, we curse. But you
Yeah.
can tell people are holding back and that people tune out of that, right? I
Yeah.
think look, two people come across like right away, okay? Nick Kyrgios, Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Not everybody loves him. Not everybody hates him. It's so mixed. Everybody's mixed on them, but they're always going to listen to them, right?
Yeah.
And the one thing they'll always have the respect for is that they're being real. And that's what we want at Intent. We want real tennis, real people, real commentary, real conversations that people can relate to.
Let me ask you this. Now that we're on their line, I actually really like that comparison between Kyrgios and Draymond, because while they both are, let's just say, brutally honest, do you think, and this is, I wouldn't say this is a tough question, but do you think the way tennis media has gone around players has been, I'm going to use the word soft, because people are afraid of the repercussions of what they're saying?
Yeah, because there are repercussions, right? I mean, it's they'll remove your credential access. They won't give you interviews. They'll get you off TV. They'll trash you in the media, right? It's so players feel like they can't be real. Okay. Journalists feel like they can't ask them just real hardcore questions. And you see it within the players, like every response is just so politically correct
It's
and
the
just
same. Everything's the same. And it's the
so.
same questions too after every match, unless you get a one-on-one interview. And I think when I first met you, JY, that was one of the goals that I wanted to do with this channel and this podcast, was to ask genuine questions about how players feel. But if they say the wrong thing, then it's a fine. Then it's a different conversation with someone else of their higher ups. But in reality, it's their own, they're responsible for themselves. How are they supposed to, like, follow the line of their employer and also be genuine if they're not going to say what how they really feel?
Yeah, and it does come down to, this is one of the problems with the tour is how broken everything is and how every tournament is individual and will do whatever they want because the tour is not united. ITF, USTA, Tennis Australia, everybody does whatever they want. The tournaments are their own entities. So what happens, right? If you're not very liked, well, then a tournament maybe just doesn't give you a wild card. Right. Maybe you ask for a later start because you're flying in late, and the tournament's like, no, we don't want to do it. We don't care. So wild cards are on their line, scheduling's on the line. Like you, it's just that's not how it should be, right? It should be one league, but because so many tournaments are owned individually, players have to.
Agencies own certain tournaments and represent players at the same time, which to me, is that a conflict of interest? It can be.
Absolutely.
Of
Oh,
course it is,
100%. Come on.
because you're going to give wild cards to certain people that you represent and you want to see succeed, but other people that do deserve it don't get them because they're saving an opportunity for someone else that they represent and could make them more money.
Yeah, I mean, IMG at Miami Open. I mean, I think they're, I don't know how much longer it's going to be their tournament, but, it's a tournament in America. And you're going to have international players get wild cards, or the only wild cards are going to be IMG. So you can't tell me that's not a conflict of interest, right?
Well, yeah, and basically with Miami already being sponsored by a Brazilian bank and most of their sponsors being international sponsors, it's going to be hard. I mean, look at, I think that's a great segue to what's happening right now. The Italian Federation's looking to buy Madrid to make it a 2-week event to make it the quote unquote fifth slam. I'm going to make a separate video on this by the time, and probably, hopefully, it came out by the time this podcast comes out. But how does that make sense? How does that make sense of one tournament being buying out another one, two Masters 1000 tournaments combining for one, and then most likely gonna favor everyone that it represents? Is
Yeah.
that fair to lower ranked players? Absolutely not. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, it's part of Italy's plan that has worked incredibly successful, which is by having as many tournaments as possible in your home country within train and driving distance, because the country's not as big as, like, for example, the United States. So you get players opportunities to play. You give them opportunities to get their ranking up, develop without having to spend a lot of money. So it's a lot cheaper for them. Keeps them in the game longer. They can improve. And look how many Italians we have now that are moving up the ranks. So this is part of that. And so the more they grow tennis in Italy, they have the World Tour Finals in Turin, right?
For
It,
now.
for now,
For
right?
now.
But it's all part of it. The more they can bring in there, the more opportunities their players get, the more they inspire the young generation below them, and they just start dominating tennis. So yeah, I think it's part of that plan. I don't blame them considering the system, for what they're trying to do, because there are opportunities for you to just say, well, I'm just going to buy a tournament. I
For
mean,
$500 million, here's like we're gonna buy it out to make it a 2-week event. And I will go back to Italy being probably one of the most, besides the Yannick Sinner thing, which we can talk about later. Italy's been consistent with, like you said, running tournaments. Even during COVID, they had, in order to minimize travel and exposure, they had, I believe it was three or four back-to-back challengers in this at the same venue, so that way players could actually make money without spending a shit, excuse me, a lot of excessive
Hey,
travel
I thought
fees.
cursing was allowed.
Well, I don't know. You didn't curse first, so now I'm afraid to curse.
No,
So,
you can curse. It's your podcast.
that's fair. But you're not wrong, JY. You're not wrong. But yeah, I think it's a great idea, and I just don't think that I don't know how it's going to be now with Sinner being banned, but the Italian Federation has done such a great job lately with promoting and getting people involved. And I feel like that's a lackluster effort from other countries right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also a funding issue. So it at least got great funding. I think, yeah, I mean, I would love to say that the USTA has great funding based on how much they make off the US Open. It's tricky. That's one.
That's a tough question to answer and ask, right? Because US Open counts for how much of the USTA revenue throughout the year?
And they have a lot of things they do for the community, and they do
There's
a
different
lot.
sections.
Right. So we'd have to find out what Italy does and get a direct comparison. So I won't go into the details. But yeah, I mean, they do a great job with their funding to put these opportunities for their players. And, a lot of most countries don't have those opportunities. I mean, South American countries do not have opportunities. But you look at what Argentina's done, they have a lot of futures, a lot of challengers, if they're still called futures. ITF events, whatever.
Whatever they're called now at this
Yeah,
point.
they do a lot to make it easier for players to stay within the country, play tournaments, and so that they can develop without having to spend a lot of money, which I'm totally going to use this as a transition to the Intense League.
Love it.
A couple points to make. So look, players are going to have full-time salaries and benefits playing for the Intense League. Okay, so you're 400 in the world. You're not making any money, right? ATP, WTA. You're not making money. Let's just say I think the new break even is somewhere in the 300s now, which is that's good that they've worked their way there for the
After
men's.
their reconstruction for after they reconstructed and adding more money to the lower level challengers, I don't think it's gotten to the lower ITFs yet, but it has been getting a lot better in terms of what you can make. But even if you are breaking even in the top, let's just say 300, you're not able to have extra funding to live your life. You have to work to keep making enough money to then have a life outside of tennis. And that's the hardest part. And that's
Yeah,
what I
that's
think Intense is what you guys are really trying to do.
yeah. So you're 350 in the world, and when we say you're breaking even, making money, yeah, breaking even. Okay, so
Whatever you make goes back into expenses. Let's just say that.
you go work at Starbucks, you make more money than a professional tennis player 350 in the world. Okay, you work at McDonald's, you make more money than a tennis player 350 in the world. Okay, And yeah, it's laughable, it's embarrassing. So Intense solves that. You have a full-time salary, health benefits,
Yeah,
okay?
that's crazy.
Free coaching. Okay. You have a coach on your team, just like NBA, NFL, MLB. Your coach is just it's there, it's paid for. Okay. Then you get to travel together. How many tennis players, you know, the mental health battles that these players have traveling so much alone. And by the way, when you're 350 in the world, you are not traveling with a coach most of the year.
You're traveling by yourself. Maybe if you have a friend that's on the same level that's playing the same tournaments as you, maybe you get to see the same people at every tournament. But that's rare. I will say that now. It's very rare for you to see the same fucking person every single time you go to a tournament. And that from a mental toll, we talked about, like, tennis is now getting into the and realizing the mental health game. It started with Naomi Osaka, and you saw that with Amanda Anisimova, and she just won her first and biggest title of her career in the Middle East, beating Ostapenko in straight sets, winning a 1000 event. And she took a year and a half off to focus on her happiness and her mental health. Imagine doing that as a, let's just say, a 29-year-old going from, I'm not even going to say third world country, but going to countries in South America to make $1,200 if you win the tournament. And then you're down 2K because you spent $2,000 on food and expenses. What? That's the reality. And we've been saying this for years.
And so it's really tough on the players from a mental standpoint. It gets exhausting, and I think it actually makes it difficult for them to improve because they're spending so much time traveling without a coach, without help, doing so much on their own. So
Exactly.
I think there's a very real possibility in the Intense League that you're going to have players that are playing a level of tennis that is significantly higher than this because they practice together, they have coaching all the time. They have physical trainers that can take care of their bodies. So many players get injured because they can't afford a physical trainer and a coach to travel with them. And most of these tournaments don't have a qualified physical trainer to be there to take care of them. Like they can put tape job, a little stretch, and tell you, like, yeah, if it's serious or not, right? At those levels, ATP Tour guys, WTA Tour, they're unbelievable. Those are top. But so the intensity, you don't have to worry about that. Full-time salaries. So, like I'm telling you right now, it's more than like minimum wage what these people are making in their first year. Can you imagine year five? Like, so our goal is that, kids are going to wake up and then dream to play in the intensity because the quality of life is so much better. You travel with a team, and I think that the other part that's going to be amazing is that, again, everything's scheduled out. You have an actual season. You don't play what feels like 52 weeks of the year. It can never have downtime. We have a season. We have a preseason. We have rest time where you can train. We'll do some exhibitions and just prize money tournaments, but you can rest. You can recover. You can live a life outside of tennis and you can manage that life. Right now, so many tennis players feel like they can't find a significant other at home because they're never freaking home. We talk about, the WTA, these ladies that have to be mothers and playing on tour and travel so much without their kids and everything, or they bring them on there. Or, I mean, if you're 200 in the world and you have a kid, that's it. You're probably done, right? You're not, the odds are you're probably not coming back. So.
It's a rare sight. And I think, who was it? Danielle Collins even mentioned it when she had her run in Australia, or last year when she announced her retirement. She admitted that she has a timeline of when she can have kids and when she wants to start a family. And there are some mothers on tour, let's just point out Azarenka, who has made enough money where she can travel with the team and can travel with her son. We look at Osaka, who's made enough money, who has a child. Look at Kim Clijsters when she first came back onto the tour. She already had success, so she could already support herself and her family while she had a kid. And if another name that I can throw out there is Tatiana
Benji,
Maria.
Tatiana Maria.
And Tatiana Maria or Belinda Bencic. People that have had success on tour that can travel with their family and their children. But you imagine someone that's still grinding in the, let's just say 200 range, to then want to still pursue this career, still wanting to start a family. How can you do that if you don't have a routine, a regular schedule, and like you said, a quality of life that is consistent with having a 9-to-5 job?
Yeah. So you can do that in the intense league because you're going to have a full-time salary. So win or lose, you at least know you're going to have money coming in. The travel is easier to plan. Okay. You know when it's happening. You don't travel for 2 months in a row out of the country, right? This is in the United States. You know when you're traveling, you know when you're starting, you know when you're finishing. It's so much easier to plan with your family on when you start, when you play. You have home matches. Like how many of these players actually play at home? No one. So you're gonna actually have home matches. So where in the morning you could be with your child, and then you go, you train, and you come back and you're with your child. It's easier to schedule daycare hours. And now maybe the next 3 days are your competitions. You know when you're starting and you know when you're finishing because we play on a clock. We play with time. So you can plan, your child being taken care of. And half the time you play, you're playing at home. So you don't need to worry about paying for their flights and hotels and trying to be everywhere with them. Okay. And we're going to grow big. We're going to grow to like conferences and everything around the whole country. So that, okay, what happens within a conference? Well, it's within your region. So it's within driving distance. So it's still easier to bring them. You don't have these cross global flights that are $2,000 minimum a person. Which, after your child is 2 years old, they don't get their free seat anymore. So you got to pay for them as well. So
Which you have experience with
I've got
having a
experience,
son.
and we are limiting our international travel now that he is 3 years old. So the smile's got to wrap him up. So yeah, there's so much. And then finally, I have to mention the junior pathway that the Intense League is going to have. We're going to have juniors that are a part of our system. The idea is, and so much is ideas still because we're so young, but a junior team, like you have in Europe, you have your soccer teams that have their under 17 teams, right? So, and then they feed into the pro system after if they want. So, same thing. Like we're gonna have our junior teams assigned to each club or each city that are part of the pro team there, and so. There's going to be a direct pathway to bring people from juniors to the pros, right? They can go to college as well, but th there's a direct connection there. And so we think that's also going to help grow the game because the biggest issue that keeps kids from continuing to play is the individual aspect of it. Okay. Most kids love the team aspect of team sports. Well, that's why a lot of tennis players, you ask almost any college tennis player, even when they go play on pro tour, they feel like they had more fun on in college because of the team aspect, the traveling, the experiences, the memories. We're gonna have that. All right. So again, you can hear my excitement. There's so many different things. I wish we could do it all today. It's gonna take a lot of time. It's gonna take years, but I mean we have a great team committed to a multi-year project.
And I think one of the best things about this is having that team, because for me, one of my favorite, when I go to these colleges, when I go see these players, and when I go see the connections that they make, and from all schools, they're all going to be different, but seeing what makes them happy is having people around them that make them strive to be better, whether that's a coach, whether that's a trainer, whether that's a teacher, whether that's their own teammate. I think that's what makes it more entertaining. And for you too, we already talked about Ultimate Tennis Showdown, a Mortoglu product. When we look at something more American based, I think of World Team Tennis, a product that did well, but is now doesn't exist. Right. So if we look at World Team Tennis and Intense, besides similar to different formats, and correct me if I'm wrong here, difference, if we'll do the same thing, compare and contrast the World Team Tennis, what their product was looking to do versus what Intense is looking to do down the road.
Yeah, so I'll talk about the old version of World Team Tennis. My understanding is that they're working on coming back. And it'll be interesting to, because look, I'm more than happy to say they're coming back, because to me, I love tennis. The more tennis we have for fans to watch, the better. So I think it's great. So we'll see what changes they implement. I think the differences with them is that, one of the things we really are priding ourselves on is engaging our players and coaches within the community that they're based in. And when you don't have players that are there consistently, okay, you have your local team, you don't feel like it's your team because you don't
Have
have a
no idea
connection
who's there.
with players and coaches. Yeah, you're a different week, different people are playing. They're in, they're out, they fly in for one match, they're gone. I think they did an amazing job trying to engage the players and coaches with the fans during the event, but what happens the rest of the year? And so, like in all the other leagues, I'm from Miami, big Heat fan. They do a lot of stuff in the community. They bring their players out, even in the off season. They have stuff engaging with schools, basketball programs, the summer programs. They do a lot. Well, World Team doesn't do that because it's seasonal and then players leave. So,
And they're probably playing on tour too, so they don't have time to kind of settle down and do the same thing because, like you said before, you don't have time to do the right or plan out everything because you don't have a regularly scheduled timeline.
yeah, because the paycheck doesn't cover your year. So you
Exactly.
obviously you complete your commitment to World Team Tennis. Maybe you have a great time that day, but you still have to take care of yourself, your family, and you don't have a paycheck anymore. So you have to go play, and you have to keep that ranking up, because if you don't keep that ranking up, that's the bulk of your salary. So you have to go play as soon as you possibly can. So that made it hard, I think, for World Team Tennis to grow. And now they're going to be doing some different stuff and at different times. So I'm rooting for them. I want them to succeed. And but I think that's where, by us having full-time salaries, and gosh, feel free to copy that. I mean, I've let's take people off the ATP tour and give them full-time salaries at World Team Tennis everywhere. But for now, we're the ones doing it, and so they don't have to go anywhere else to find more money. They're getting everything they need from the league, so that they'll train at home, be at home when there's no match. That's fine. They'll be doing clinics and stuff with the local juniors, the local programs, adults. They'll be there. They'll be seen every day. They're going to make friends in the community because they just see them so much. So, well, what do people want to do when their friend is playing? Well, they want to go watch them play, right? That's why so many of these tournaments give out local wild cards. Well, why does, Isner could come not play tennis for 10 years, and if Atlanta Open still existed, they're giving him a wild card, right? So that's why, because they feel connected to him. UGA, Atlanta, not far from Athens. So that's what we're going to do, and we think that's a big part of, what we think is going to make our league successful and bring people out on a consistent basis.
And I think that's the biggest part about why I wanted to have you on and to talk about this kind of this new product that tennis needs. Because it's a change of pace, it's a breath of fresh air, and for me, I just think it's definitely an idea that whether or not the ATP can take ideas or the WTA can take ideas from, they can if they want to, but it's one that needs to be talked about more. And it's
So
go
really quick
ahead.
to jump in there, because look, I think if you ask the people within the ATP and the WTA and the ITF, they have a lot of great ideas and they want to do a lot. The system is too broken. Everyone is too individualized to be able to come together. Okay. You have nine Masters tournaments, you have nine different owners. What does Madrid care about Shanghai Open? Right. So you can't come up with unified decisions that make the tour better. So it's very hard when you can't break it all down and put it all back together. And so that's why I think it's easier for Intense, because we're starting from scratch. So we can mold things on the way up because we're all working together for one common goal.
So let me ask you this. When you speak like that, the first thing that comes back to my mind is the PTPA, something that's still fresh and new for players on the professional tour. What are your thoughts on the PTPA in that regard, and how does that translate to unifying the tour and players.
I think the PTPA is necessary to unify the players.
Yes.
It is going to be very difficult for them to unify the tours,
Yeah.
but it is necessary to unify the players because now the ATP tries to do this with their player committee,
Yeah.
but they're still working directly with the ATP. It's just different, right? You need someone that is going to do solely what's the best for the players. And so the PTPA is necessary because they only care about the players. The ATP Tour has to care about both the
Yeah.
player and the tournament. And that is a very difficult balance. And it's just because of the way they're structured. So somebody has to come in and look out for the players because here's what's so hard about a tennis player is, who's going to sit down and figure out all these legal things and all the information that you need to know as a player on how, like, they're screwing you over as a tour, whether it's
Yeah.
intentional or not.
Exactly.
These players don't have the time. They're traveling all around the world. They're broke. They're struggling. They're trying to pay their bills. They're dying to just make money. They don't like,
Yeah.
they care, but they don't. They're still just trying to pay next month's rent.
Yeah.
So somebody has to be there to take care of them. And that's where the PTPA comes in.
And does that make, how can I phrase this? Is that a way for players to, is it possible for players to unionize on a tour like the ATP or WTA, like an NBA or MLB or NFL players union, to look out for the benefit of players to get that revenue sharing for each player? Because at this point, I feel like it's going to be one of the hardest things to do, just based off what you just said.
I always ask this question, why not? Like, why wouldn't you sign up to be part of the PTPA? What are you so afraid? Like, they're literally there to help you as a player and nobody else. There is no conflict of interest. The ATP is full of conflicts of interest. They've tried to remove it. They're trying to figure this out, but again, they're so integrated, it's very hard for them to make big changes very fast.
Yeah.
So, what is the harm in signing on to be with the PTPA when all they're going to do is just work for you? So,
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous when you don't sign on to be with them, especially when you look at out of all tennis is one of the biggest sports in the entire world. Maybe not in the United States, but in the entire world, it's one of the biggest sports.
Top 10 for sure.
Yeah, and so. But within that, you are one of the least successful athletes amongst all these top sports.
I laugh because it's a crazy statement, but how true it is, right?
Please explain to me, if you're a player, why you think you're smarter than the NBA, MLB that has guaranteed contracts. Player just got freaking $700 million.
Deferred.
They've had a union in place for 100 and something years, right? Now, it took them a long time. Hopefully, it doesn't take them. They were trying to start unions in the 1880s with baseball, and there's a lot of
Yeah.
fighting. And it's going to happen here. The league's going to fight back at some point when every player is in on that PTPA
Yeah.
and they act together. They're going to have to work with them. And I think every player would love to take the salaries that these other professional athletes are getting.
Yeah.
Or, say, I'm just going to go play in the intense league. Like, why deal with all of that? Okay. You're going to make more money playing for us. Obviously, the top guys are making a lot of money. We're
Yeah. But
not
that's
paying
a
that yet,
but
right? We'll get
we're
there.
not let's just establish that this is, look, you're not going to make an insane amount of money, or let's just say rich money, until you're, can I say top 50 in the world based on your experience? Or it's not even that, maybe 25?
I'd say top 25.
Top 25.
Yeah.
That's in the world. That's not even in your country. That's in the world.
Yeah, because there's 1,000 jobs I can put those players at, and they'll make even more money than a top 50 tennis player.
And to be
So,
honest, within my experience, they could become the head of a country club director and make more money doing that than playing on the professional tour. You can make more money as a rackets pro than you
yeah, it,
could being top 400 in the world.
because
It's
of the
just a
expense.
name. It's
Yeah, the
just an,
expenses are so high. Yeah.
it's so high. But that's the, that's, I think I've been saying this for years, but that's the reality of the situation with tennis. That's how broken the system is for these players. And that's where intense comes in.
Yeah, that's where intense that we don't have those expenses, right? So
Exactly.
you just pay your rent, pay your car if you want to have a car, but you want to rent a one bedroom studio, you want to live at home with your mom, fine. But you don't have to pay, you don't have to worry about like, do I bring a coach or not this week? Because I don't know if
Yeah.
I can afford it, especially if I lose first round. Like when Bublik was saying about the ATP 250s. Yeah, I mean, unless you're making quarters or semis, you're losing money. You're losing money at an ATP 250 if you bring a coach and a physio, because no
You
one's
have to
providing.
pay them. You have
You
to
gotta
pay
pay them.
them. And then you have expenses. You have a flight. You have hotel. And I think, please correct me if I'm wrong, JY has much more extensive knowledge on this. But from a player's perspective, how many days does the tournament, do tournaments like that give you a guaranteed number of nights at a hotel? Or are you constantly redoing your reservation?
No, players get a certain amount of nights,
Yeah.
but coaches don't, physios don't. So
There. Right there.
are you going to have them split the room with you?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
And if you do, imagine that. Imagine being 16 in the world and feeling like you have to split a room with two other guys or girls because you're just trying to make money, right? And
Because
then
you're
one
just
of the,
trying to break even from a tournament that you're doing well in.
yeah, at one of the biggest professional tournaments in the world.
Makes sense. Makes total sense.
Again, yeah, come play intense.
Come play intense. JY, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I can't thank you enough for talking about what the Intense League is like, what it's all about, and what Intense is trying to do with this sport. It's an incredible product that has a lot of promise, and I can't wait to see what it does. I would like to be a part of it someday. Let's see what we can do about that. I
Gonna need
selflessly,
help. Yeah, we're gonna need help.
exactly. So I want to thank him. If you guys want to check out the Intense League, check out all the links down in the description below. Go to make sure follow JY on all his social medias. What else do you want to plug, JY? The floor is yours.
Intense tennis. Like I just think it, even if you're a traditionalist in tennis, just keep this in mind. This league is built in a way that we're putting the fan experience first.
First, yeah.
It's not about the player's experience. It's not about the coach's experience. Yes, we've talked about salaries and juniors and how great it is if you want to be a mom and still play in this league.
Yeah.
But the most important thing to us is the fans. And so we're trying to create the best product that people can really enjoy to watch. And I think you just have to check it out if you'd love to watch anybody hit a racket and a ball within those lines.
I love that. And JY, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And we will catch you in the next. I can't even do my outro right now. What's wrong with
Well, we had a great conversation. We're burning it out. So
Robert, nah,
good.
JY, thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. And we can't wait to see you in a blazer and your shirt in Miami again. I'm going to hold you to that. Thank
All
you so
right.
much for watching, guys.
Take care.